You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, it's Allison, and we want to take a second to talk about our newest sponsor. It's this awesome company called Carnivore Club, and here's what they do. Every month, they scour the country for the most mind-blowingly delicious meat producers they can find. They pick out the very best 4 to 6 of the products that supplier makes. They put those delicious edible treasures into a box, and then they ship it to your door, your very own door. You can get wild boar salami, spicy pork chorizo, venison turkey. There's just a huge variety of amazing meats. They find a whole new supplier to feature every month, so every box you get is a totally new selection of different cured meats.
We finally have a box.
We got a box. If this sounds familiar, it's because Carnivore Club sponsored us a couple episodes ago,
yeah.
And Alex gave them the wrong address.
And
so
we didn't have a box.
But this month, we have a box. We got a box of meats,
and
we're already
great.
Eating them, and it's perfect. It's like the perfect thing to have with a drink. So in our box, we got Wagyu salami, like full Wagyu. It's so good.
We Tom's got something having called, the Wagyu for the first time.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
We got something called Nostrano, which is a pink peppercorn pork sausage. We got a cacciatorini picante. I did not know there was going to be math in this.
How great is that? Cacciatorini.
It's a spicy hunter sausage. I'm terrible at this. It's a Tuscan-style salami.
It's also good.
And then we got a douya,
mm-hmm.
which is spreadable salami, you guys.
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
first,
you spread it on a cracker, and it's like just
You got to try the hunter sausage.
It's
the
so
spicy
good.
Hunter. Yeah. It's so good. It tastes like buffalo chicken wings.
Yeah, all of this is awesome. All right, so you guys, if you like the sound of this, you go to Carnivore Club.
Right? I'm telling you.
I'm giving them the address.
Super fennel.
You guys, go to carnivoreclub.co. That is C-O, not .com. You leave off the M for meat. And you sign up to get your first box for 10% off with the promo code Happy Hour. That is one word, no space, capital H's, all around, Happy Hour. It's pretty simple. If a box of amazing meat delivered to your door once a month sounds awesome to you, it is time to join the Carnivore Club. That is carnivoreclub.co with the promo code Happy Hour with no space and capital H's, and you get 10% off. Now give me more meat.
Take the meat.
Give her some meat, baby.
That's good.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Hayslip.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. For the next 30-plus minutes,
yep,
maybe the approximate tilde,
yeah,
we are going to be drinking.
We are.
Some fun drinks.
Yeah.
And talking about stories and stuff. Things that happen in our lives and the lives of others.
Yeah.
As it were. Helping us comb through the subset of life that we are experiencing today.
And drink.
Man,
and
we're
drink.
Deep. Go.
Is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Tom Supervolcano Krajewski. How you doing there, Tom?
Good. This is fun. We had some meats.
We got some meats.
Beers.
Yeah, we have some meats. We got some beers.
We do have some beers. We have to talk about why we have beers.
Beers that showed up on my front door.
I love this. I love that people are like, oh, they drink on their podcast. I'm going to give them alcohol.
I will give them beers.
Dear sweet Mike from Stone Brewery.
Stone Brewery in San Diego, California.
Wagyu beef salami.
That Wagyu beef is
so good.
Okay, Mike from Stone dropped us off these amazing beers. And so right now we are drinking a specialty beer called Namin. You know what I mean? Like Namin. And it's awesome. It's this hoppy lager. It's kind of like, it smells like peachy and grassy.
It's good.
Yeah, it's citrusy. And I'm not normally a hoppy drink liker. That made no
sense.
That's
a good definition.
I don't normally like hoppy beers, but I really dig this one. And it goes perfectly with our sponsor for this episode, Carnivore Club.
It's actually, I feel like we've sort of raised the quality bar of our snacking
show.
Used to be like leftover.
We have a spread of fancy meats.
I know.
And then Namin.
I know. This is craft great. We're just going to have a classy podcast.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen this week.
Up. Yeah. You've been busy this week.
I've been shooting BattleBots this week.
I know. We've barely seen you.
I know.
I don't know what that means.
We had to shoot this on a different day because I'm shooting. It's been awesome. It's just as fun as I remember it being. It was really cool because like when I walked back into the pits for the first time where the builders are, like all of them remembered me.
Not all of them,
the ones from last season remembered me.
Yeah.
And they were all excited to see me back. And like the bots are like so much more violent this year. so far, I've only seen the qualifying rounds.
Yeah.
So I've seen 48 bots compete. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's intense. Hold on, I'm going to sneeze.
It's that intense. Bless you.
Covering your mouth, Allison. Yeah.
I have meat in one hand and a beer in the other. I didn't have a hand to cover my mouth with.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Classic Hazelwood. Meat in one hand, beer in the other.
We wonder why I'm single. Anyway, yeah, it's so cool. I'm so excited for people to see it. It's on ABC. We have a preview episode on May 10th, which is going to recap season one and then also show some of the rumble fights that we've done this year. Because we had so many bots compete that they had to do some rumbles.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, rumble is when more than two bots are fighting.
Oh,
so a rumble.
Yeah, so they do these rumbles and whoever comes out victorious then actually gets placed in the tournament.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So in the 80s fight movie.
Yeah.
In Real Steel 2.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. It's going to be a street rumble.
Of bots.
And then they think they don't make it in the tourney, and then they discover there's one last rumble that they just heard about.
Exactly.
And they rush in, and they almost don't make it to the deadline.
Or like someone who possibly loses in a rumble but didn't lose badly.
Yeah.
Then like someone who's in the tournament all of a sudden can't compete, and they have to pull him up from the ranks.
Yeah, they blow out their robo knee.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like,
that
he blew out
happen.
His robo knee. His hydraulic knees. Can't fight.
Every part of his body is a robo.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the robo elbow.
The guy puts
robo
his hands shoulder. Together.
And rubs them.
Rubs them real fast and puts it on his knee.
And he's like, I'm cured.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
he's like, meow.
But it's awesome.
Knee.
It's so awesome. I'm so tired, but it's so worth it. Yeah.
Oh, how long are you doing it for? I mean,
we have 3 more days of shooting.
Oh, that's quick.
Yeah, I know. We shoot the whole season in a week.
Wow.
But, because it's a tournament.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always wondered about that with like the tournament shows where it's like Ultimate Fighter or something like that. Like, do they actually stay for the full like week and then at the end of the week they fight? Or is it like every 3 days there's a fight or every like 2 days there's a fight so they can compress those like, you know, 12 episodes crammed down into like 4 or 5 weeks?
I have no idea. I mean? Here's the thing. In robot combat...
Nobody has to rest.
No. Part of the skill in robot combat is being able to repair your bot in between fights quickly.
Like a pit stop. Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool.
So these competitors are actually used to doing things very quickly. So the fact that we're actually taking a couple days is a vacation for them.
Interesting.
I don't want to say vacation. They still work their fucking asses off.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
But sometimes they have to fight 2 or 3 fights in a day. And
so are there multiple people controlling that? I mean, I'm sorry. I guess I'm a layperson to the robot fighting leagues.
Yeah, no, ask.
Are there multiple people controlling these robots? Like, is there a driver and then a spike initiator?
Yeah. The weaponizer guy.
The weaponizer?
There's normally a driver
and
then a separate person controlling the weapons. And then there's a separate person controlling the pulverizers within the box, the giant hammers in each corner.
Oh.
The competitors have control of those.
Oh, interesting.
So normally every team has 3, but it's not uncommon for a driver to also control the weapons depending on how the bot is designed.
Is designed.
Is there like someone in charge of making the robot talk? Do the robots talk?
No, the robots do not talk.
Yeah, this one guy whose job is just like, oh, God! Oh, my robot neck!
No,
oh,
they be like,
that's so bad.
They be like trash talking each other.
I'm on fire!
They're not... For the most part,
I've seen BattleBots.
They're not humanoid looking robots.
I know, but they should still talk. Neither R2-D2. He's not a humanoid.
There was a bot.
That's true.
There is a bot that kind of vaguely looks like Knight Rider, so you sort of wanted
that's
to
amazing.
Talk.
That's amazing. By the way.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this the other day.
Congratulations.
and then the thought left me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
the end.
No, I got so because of the Time Warner switch.
Right.
I now have the L-Ray network.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is Robert Rodriguez's television network.
Well, that's what From Dusk Till Dawn is on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The TV show Dusk Till Dawn, which I haven't seen that because I haven't been, like, it just hasn't been on when I've been flipping through.
Right.
But they have a lot of, like, they'll have, like, old So it feels very much like the channel Quentin Tarantino would make too. Yeah. So it's like all these like old like Chinese kung fu movies from like the 70s.
Right.
But then there's also like MacGyver episodes.
What?
And Knight Rider.
Sorry, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so I was like, this is a Knight Rider. First off, there is nothing in the world more satisfying than trying to watch an 80s television show. Mm. Oh, and they have Airwolf.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I used to fucking love
Airwolf.
Oh, my God. Airwolf was like the creme de la creme for me. But watching them now, it's like these are atrocious. Like
yeah,
they're just
totally.
There's like, I mean, it's really funny. But it got me thinking because I was watching Knight Rider and I was like, I know they did a remake of Knight Rider in
yeah,
like 2002.
Like a season. No, it was it's more like 2006 or 7.
God, it was all the way
actually,
back
no,
then?
I was working at G4 because I think they sent me on a set visit. So it must have been
2005 through 6?
No, I didn't start working on G4 till the end of 2007.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I'm going to say 2008
by,
or 9.
It was sponsored by Ford. So it was a Ford Mustang.
I do remember that.
Because everybody was like, it's a Pontiac Firebird. Right? Like, that's a Pontiac Firebird. I'm assuming it's a Pontiac Firebird. All of a sudden, I was like, was it a Camaro? It wasn't a Camaro.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it was
a
Firebird.
Sounds right.
I feel like it was a Firebird. Yeah.
Internet.
Find out, internet.
It talked like this.
Yeah, I was like, hey, buddy, get in my truck. Boot, scoot, and boogie. Let's get these guys. And you're like, what? And the guy was like, it just didn't work. But it got me thinking, I feel like now is the time. I mean, I'm sort of this way about everything. I feel like if you made a top-notch quality, like Breaking Bad quality.
Knight Rider. No. They should go like the route of Chuck and get Zach Levi to be Michael Knight. Because
here you go.
My wife and I have talked about this.
So you want to do it as like a
still kind of
like a Dukes of Hazzard movie where it's like make it more of a comedy or like Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, well, just where you sort of make it more Castle's of a, kind of a fun, show that's got a mystery to it, like that kind of a thing.
Okay,
yeah.
So not too serious.
You guys, Kit.
Yes.
Pontiac Trans Am.
What did I say?
You said Firebird.
Firebird. That's close, though, right? Firebird or Firebird is somebody else. Fuck.
Wasn't Kit also the principal on Boy Meets World?
He was. William
also,
Daniels, the president of...
also, Kit Cloudkicker from that Disney show. Tailspin. Tailspin.
Oh, yeah, Tailspin.
Yeah.
Which was Tailspin a spinoff of...
Baloo from
Rescue
Jungle
Rangers?
Book. No. Oh.
I feel like he was. Yeah, I feel like he
but
came out of
Baloo
Rescue
was
Rangers.
Was also in Rescue Rangers.
I think he might have been, but I don't know. Wait,
you're not
Tailspin?
Tailspin.
No, Tailspin was a spinoff of DuckTales with the guy.
Oh,
the
Launchpad McQuack.
Launchpad McQuack. That was
Wait,
Tailspin.
Really? No,
he was on Darkwing Duck from.
Yeah.
From
no, so Tailspin.
No, Launchpad McQuack was on Darkwing Duck.
Correct.
Tailspin was a bear, not a duck.
So maybe Tailspin, but I feel like
no, he was on DuckTales.
No, that was
no Launchpad.
Launchpad McQuack was, and that be, he then
he
moved over to
Darkwing
Duck.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and you're saying
I'm saying that I think Tailspin was a spinoff of Chippendale's Rescue Rangers.
Yes, I think that's right. But wasn't Baloo
Rescue? It could very well be because
I
think
the bear was named Baloo
because I think they were both Disney properties. Right.
Right?
I mean, they were all Disney.
But Baloo is the bear from Jungle Book. I feel like they sort of resurrected Baloo.
Yes.
Into. You know what?
By the way, Jungle Book. Yeah, what? Come on.
Use
the internet over
again.
Here. By the
Jungle
way, Jungle
Book's
Book.
Supposed to be amazing.
Yeah,
the
and
movie?
It's murdering the box office.
Yeah.
And there's another Jungle Book coming out next year or 2 years
so
from now.
Well, I know the guy who wrote this Jungle Book, so everyone go see this one.
So go see. Well, it's also the one that's out now. So if you want to go see a Jungle Book, this is the one to
can't
see.
Hop in your time machine, go 2 years
and see the Andy Serkis one.
That's also true. Okay, hold on. I got it. I got.
Can't
I'm on,
hold
I'm
on.
Wikipedia.
But I feel like
here we go.
Yes.
With characters adapted from Disney's 1967 animated feature, The Jungle Book.
Interesting.
Tailspin was.
So it wasn't a spin-off of Chippendale.
The show is one of the 9 Disney afternoon shows used to establish Disney characters as the main characters. Oh, that just
says what it was.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
Didn't spin
so
off.
So we'll.
Kissy
you know what? I feel like this is
Baloo.
Something that the internet.
Wait, what just happened?
That the. That the fans of the show out there, the
enlighten us.
The researchers,
the Disney fans,
the based primarily on the sloth bear from Disney's Jungle Book is Baloo.
Jungle the book.
Jungle.
Are you
Yeah, it just
by
then and then Kit Cloudkicker.
Huh? Oh, time. Yeah, of course we're timing. Emails.
All right. Like, let's go to emails.
I was like, no, I just didn't realize if you were actually timing or not.
Oh, yeah, I'm timing.
Go to emails.
All right.
I'm going to go down this rabbit hole of
this bear hole.
This bear hole.
That's horrible.
Of tailspin.
Wait, should we talk about what you did yesterday, Alex? Do you have anything fun to say? If not, moving on.
Yeah.
I feel like you
don't think I have fun things to say.
Yeah, Tom.
I was just giving him a chance to talk about you. Stop trying to inadvertently give our listeners inside information.
I did not have things to say, but they were fun.
I'm eating the last Wagyu beef sausage.
You know what? You just snagged the Wagyu.
What?
That's not a thing.
This guy.
That's not a thing.
This guy.
All right, here we go. Dear Allison, this is gene editing. Ooh. For space survival.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, Allison, Jerry, and Allison.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. Okay.
Who is this?
Dear Allison, this is Reese.
How do you spell it?
Reese. I'll get there. Dear Allison, Alex, and Mr. Super Volcano.
Hello.
I think he did get to 4 years of volcano-y school. Yeah. You have a PhD. What would that be? A PhD? Oh, yeah, a PhV in super volcano.
That sounds like an STD.
It does sound, yeah. You should go check out that PhV. Call somebody. Dear Allison, I'm a super volcano. When will you invite both Jerry Trainer and Allison Scagliotti onto the podcast?
Oh.
It could be under the guise of talking about their band, but with the true intention of having Allison confront Allison about stealing Jerry.
Yes!
Aww. I like this idea.
Yeah.
That Allison Scagliotti has literally no idea.
No idea who we are or what we're doing.
Yeah.
sound volatile? I think yes. But also science?
No, nothing science about that.
Love the science.
Allison Scagliotti is great.
Yeah.
So I think I think it's valid.
That's a great idea.
We should see what
happens. I feel like Jerry's never going to come back on our podcast after his performance at WonderCon.
I just remember getting a text that he was just like, why didn't anybody hit me over the head? I was insufferable.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were great. I thought it was funny. And he was like, in other news.
Oh, there's more news.
If you're going to be living on the moon base,
okay,
you might have the opportunity to edit your own genes for space travel.
Oh.
And she linked an article, which we'll talk about real quick.
Okay.
WonderCon episode was amazing.
Yay.
Thanks for one of the best podcasts. Put a smile on my face every week.
Woo!
Alex, please give Mr. Super Volcano a high five.
All right.
High five just happened.
I don't know if you heard it, but it happened.
Reese.
Like Reese's Pieces and also like feces. So it's like Reese's.
She actually said her name sounds like
feces.
Feces.
So Reese's.
I'm so sorry, Reese's.
Reese's.
Is it Reese's?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? That's why I was sort of like, when you were like, what are you talking? I was like look, it'll
it's
work.
A great name.
So here's the whole concept. Here's the whole concept of...
Just for the high five.
Yeah. High five was great. This is the highlight of my day. Is anybody else having the last... Come on. You have the last fennel.
No,
I'll have the last hype.
I'm done.
No. Get the fennel.
Eat that meat.
Hook the fennel.
All right. I'm eating the meat.
Great.
I just realized I was about to start talking about it.
And then you put a piece of meat in your mouth.
I put a piece of meat in my mouth.
Allison, you can talk.
It's so subtle.
I could, but I can't
Carnivore
read the computer.
Club.
Okay, hold on. Oh, it's the spicy one?
It's the spicy one. It's the spicy one. Okay, that's enough.
So.
Okay.
I guess they're like, so this lady was talking about how essentially we aren't even really good at surviving in the majority of the planet we are living in.
Okay.
Right? So this right. scientist was kind of going off on this thing of like...
Things are too hot or things are too cold
yeah,
or things
she,
are too
well,
deep underwater.
Yeah, or just like, you know, like she had this like forest scene that she was like, "Here's mm-hmm. we're in the middle of a national park. How many people here..." It was a TED Talk. "How many people here think they could survive for like a couple days?"
Yeah.
And like half the audience raised their hand. But I was like, oh, I don't know if I could survive. Like with nothing, like just be a guy in the woods. I'd be like,
a couple days. Yeah.
That's cutting it. Really? So then she said, what about like a week? Couple weeks.
Couple
and
weeks.
And like
no.
a couple people raised their hand. And he was like, what about like a couple months? And like two people raised their hand and they looked all scruggly.
Scruggly.
But then she said, now what if it's always in a constant freeze?
Oh,
and everybody was like, okay, way less. And they were like, and then what if the only water that you have is actually frozen solid blocks of ice?
No.
Okay. And then what if there was no air?
What?
So, right. But so it starts to go, you start to go, first off, humans are horrible at space.
Yeah. Yes.
right? Yeah. So the longest any human has been in space is between 12 and 18 months.
Okay.
And during that time, their bones gets like lose density. They have muscle wasting, and their cardiovascular system stops to work. Like it starts being all fucked up.
Right.
So if you're gonna go on a space trip to a space trip to like some place that's got another sun, like maybe Alpha Centauri, callback. It's gonna take many generations, and we are not equipped to be able to do that.
Right.
But so what they've started doing is they've started using, they sort of started tackling on talking about plants. Like, let's say we go to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring plants from Earth to feed us, and we're going to try to figure out how to get those plants to work
on Mars.
On Mars.
Yeah.
Well, she was like, we've already done this. Like, we've already we already can make plants that are freeze tolerant. Like plants that aren't freeze tolerant, we can make them freeze tolerant.
Okay.
And plants that need
we gene splice the
plants to make them more robust or make them do things like that. And that has become a very fast thing to do.
Okay.
Because they use these like little like nanobot thingies.
Ooh,
that
nanobots.
They actually go in and target through the stuff and like switch things around.
What?
That's cool.
Oh.
So then she started saying, if we really want to get balls out on space, we're going to have to start doing that same type of thing to our own human physiology.
Yeah.
Like how far? Like doing what? Like so you don't freeze in space, obviously. But like, why wouldn't I just do that here on Earth? Make myself super.
Or like,
give myself
something
super
that
strength.
Makes your bones denser?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Like, give myself super strong skin.
Yeah.
So you can't cut me anymore, Alex.
Right. As much as I wanted to cut you, I wish that that was a thing.
Is this a thing that happens?
Well, but this is the thing. He talks a lot and a lot of smack, and I want to just make sure he knows not to do that.
But he said anymore, which makes me feel like
Thank you, Alice.
Cut him.
She picked up on that.
I just.
Do you cut Tom?
It's just enough to keep
him interesting. Is this how you got him to agree? To be, to
oh, he did. He does not. He does not want to be on this podcast.
What?
Every week, I have to cut him a little just to get him into the garage. People,
you just like hide
this
it.
This is facts.
It's like on the back of his thigh, so you'll never see it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I can gene splice myself to be stronger. Is what you're saying?
Yes.
And I can use that in space.
And you can use that in space.
Taking us back to the story.
And taking us back to the story, you can use that in space. I think. I mean, I got no problem. I mean, this is here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Here's the thing.
What is it?
A lot of people have problems with like fucking with our DNA and like our genomic, whatever the hell that thing is, our genome.
Yeah.
I say more power to it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like if somebody wants to be like, I mean, first off, like if somebody wants to go, I want to have like eyes that can see ultraviolet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. I'm just thinking, why would you want
for
that?
For some reason, that guy wants that.
Okay.
Or girl. Could be a girl.
Right.
I say go
Girls
for it.
Eyes. Purple's my favorite color, so I want to see ultraviolet.
It's not ultraviolet. It's not like only super purples.
I know. But that's why I did my moron voice,
that
because that's
amazing.
What she's saying.
That is amazing.
I want to see ultraviolet.
I only like
guys,
purple clothes, so I'm going to buy only ultraviolet clothes.
Speaking of purple...
Yeah. Oh, don't bring us down.
We lost Prince.
I know.
Yep.
Now I know what it feels like when the doves cry.
It's horrible. Yeah. First off, fuck you, 2016. Like everybody's
what the
dying.
Fuck.
Ugh.
It's the worst.
Ugh.
Blah.
So anyway, see ultraviolet.
Got it.
But I say go. More power to you. I say we should be a little bit more lax about like. Yeah. Just doing stuff. Because also, that's where you go, oh, we tried to get them to see ultraviolet, but we cured Alzheimer's. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's that could totally happen.
But screwing with your genes, doesn't that normally apply to embryos and things like that?
Yeah, like you're saying
I don't
they
know.
Can
like,
I don't,
like
I don't think we can go in and screw with our genes because we've already, like...
Yeah, I feel like the genes are sort of the building, like the blueprint.
Yeah.
And then the shit has to be built, and we're already built.
We're already built.
Our cells,
so I think
so, but I don't
I
know about that.
I think the point is,
because I'm not
that
a scientist.
Fucking around with genes requires fucking around with unborn babies. And is it fair?
That does seem unfair.
To do that to someone who hasn't asked for it to be done.
Yes.
I think that that's
no, I'm just I don't know.
The problem.
But if
well, but that's
it,
the thing. But like, if that baby comes out and is Superman,
they're gonna be
you're
like,
hey, sorry we fucked with your jeans, but can you pick up my car because my battery just exploded. I don't know what any of that meant.
That was an elaborate story. I was thinking was going to like street story. Cleaning, like, I can't start my car and I'm parked on the Thursday side. And I got,
can you just move my car
to the
other side
of the street so I don't get a ticket?
Yeah. Yeah. Super Splice Baby.
Super Splice Baby. But yeah, I think that's the big problem. Like, I don't think we can go in and fuck with our own genes and all of a sudden have, you know, X-ray
but
hearing
don't...
or something like that.
X-ray hearing?
X-ray.
Amazing. I can hear through the wall. Using X-rays.
Yeah.
I love that she just like looks at your leg and then turns her head and she's like, you have a broken leg.
Exactly.
Like, what? Oh, you should really get your spleen looked at. It sounds spleen fucked up.
It sounds spleen fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it sounds like a fucked up spleen. I love that. Oh, it sounds like you have a broken leg. Is that from all the whining and me trying to walk? No, I have X-ray listening for hearing. Yeah, no, yes. Yeah, that's where it becomes like who can volunteer when you're an embryo.
Yeah, exactly.
Muscle in my leg. Ow.
You pulled a muscle in your leg?
Yeah, that's what you get for being so jacked.
Sorry. Damn it, Tom.
Now, was that a pulled muscle in your leg or was that a cramp?
It's a cramp.
Oh, yeah.
I was just trying to sound cool.
Cramps are worst.
All right, moving on.
Cramps are worst. By the way, this is... I love that people study shit like this.
Ooh,
ready for
what's
this?
What's happening? No, I don't
the
think
the cheerleader effect has been proven by science.
The cheerleader effect?
So,
save the cheerleader, save the world.
That's not the effect.
Remember when that was the coolest thing ever?
Yeah, I remember when that was like.
I went as the cheerleader for Halloween that year.
As Hayden Panettiere.
Well, yeah, but I went as like the bloodied version of her. Like,
oh, yeah.
She would get all beat up. And I think I wrote save me on my arm.
Oh.
Because save the cheerleader, save the world. Only like a handful of people got it.
Which is crazy because that was like, for a hot second, the biggest thing that was happening.
Yeah.
Was that pre-Marvel movie stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I feel like that was
like maybe Iron Man had come out around that time.
I feel like it was like the first sort of like, oh my God, realistic superheroes.
Yeah.
This is great. And then it kind of went off the rails, but as everything does. No, so the cheerleader effect is a theory also known as the bridesmaid paradox, sorority girl syndrome, and for a brief window in the mid-90s, the Spice Girl conspiracy.
Spice Girl conspiracy. So,
essentially, what it is...
I wanna zigzag.
Conspiracy theory.
Damn it, Tom.
So the whole concept is, if there is a group of women...
Yes.
That the less attractive women seem more attractive amongst a group of attractive women.
Oh, shit.
And this is actually like a thing that people have sort of like
talked
about.
Is this why I only hang out with hot girls?
I don't know that.
It's because it makes me more attractive?
But it is a good idea. You know what it does? It makes you 2 to 3% more attractive.
Oh, wow.
That is science.
If you're an unattractive girl around a bunch of
It doesn't
girls?
Have to do with being unattractive or not attractive. What happens is that what they've realized is through studying is that people average the sort of attractiveness of the faces in a group of the same sex.
Oh, wow.
So it's like if there's a group of girls, and it turns out also works for guys. So if there's a group of guys, they sort of average out and make everybody in the group 2 to 3% more attractive. And so what they did was they studied by basically
But does it make the hottest person in the group 2 to 3% less attractive?
I don't think so. They didn't really talk about the top end.
Okay.
They were kind of just talking about averaging.
Yeah.
you don't know. Continue.
Basically, I don't know. That is a legitimate theory.
Right.
But so what happened was what they would do is they would take pictures of people in a group.
Okay.
And point at one of them and say, like, how attractive is that person? And they would rate them. And then
they just went on hot or not.
Yeah, they went on hot or not. They did the swips.
The swipes. The worst.
This is horrible. I the fact that that's how people date right now is ridiculous.
No.
Like, no. No. Like, how anybody has...
I have no idea.
That is a good sci-fi movie that Tinder could be... Oh, and I saw the Black Mirror episode.
Oh, thank goodness. See?
Holy shit.
Right?
Jesus.
Yeah.
But that was the downfall of human society? Was that because nobody was procreating anymore?
Oh.
Because nobody could match? Because everybody was just like, everybody had too high, like,
of a standard,
and nobody, like, ever coupled off, and the human race dies? That'd be great. I mean, that'd be horrible, but... So what they did was they had... So they had a group of people, and they would say, that person there, how attractive are they on, you know, a scale of 1 to 100 or whatever?
Right.
1 to 10. Then they would cut out that person and show it to people as an individual people.
Oh,
and
there was individual person.
As an individual people. a person. And but so they literally found out that there was a 2 to 3% boost in attractiveness
when they were around
across the board
other people.
When they were in a group of people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So everybody go out in the world with people next to you.
So I see. It's not about being around other attractive people. It's about being around people in general.
I mean, if it was a crowd of like horribly disfigured people and like a one person, I don't know if that would raise everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think it's sort of like a mix of attractive.
That's so interesting.
You know what I mean?
Got it. Man.
Very interesting, right?
Why is it called the cheerleader effect?
Because, like, all cheerleaders are hot.
You know what's crazy? In my high school...
But you know what I mean? Like, when you look at a row of cheerleaders, you're like, yeah, those are all attractive women.
In my high school, yeah. I hate saying this, but, like, the like, not cool girls were cheerleaders.
That's interesting.
Yeah, what? And I honestly, I don't even want to say not... Like, I was a not cool girl, but I wasn't a cheerleader. It was the outcast girls who were cheerleaders.
That's
it was like
badass.
It was like the only thing that they could do was cheerleading because all the cool girls were doing like field hockey and basketball and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I was the nerdy girl who was like in theater club and whatever.
Yep.
And then it was like all the like we only had like 5 cheerleaders. And they were all these like it was like just the random mix of girls and they just had their like moment to shine because on our homecoming game they always got male cheerleaders, and the coolest guys in our class would be the male cheerleaders. So all of a sudden, it's like the outcast girls and the cool guys were like buddied up for a week to do like cool, fun cheer routines, and then it just went back to like the status quo after that.
That's so funny.
But yeah, I never really understood. I mean, I guess no. When I got to high school, I was like, "What the fuck?" I thought the cheerleaders were the pretty blonde ones.
Yeah,
and all the pretty blonde ones were playing field hockey. I never understood that at my high school.
Interesting. It's so funny because field hockey is such an East Coast sport.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like field hockey, lacrosse. None of that shit makes it out
here. We had a lacrosse team for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were on the East Coast.
East Coast.
Anyway, so it was interesting. First off, I don't know why somebody spent time studying this phenomenon. But somebody did spend time studying this phenomenon, and it has happened.
Amazing.
What? No. Yeah, I like it. All right. Let's talk science.
Yeah.
This literally blew my mind, and I know it's a story about brains.
Well, it didn't literally blow your mind because you're still sitting here.
That's true. This figuratively blew my mind.
Yeah, there you go. Much better.
We have entered the age of the computer chip brain implant.
Oh, no.
How?
Yes, people. Yes.
What happened?
There is this guy who was left paralyzed from the neck down after a freak accident 6 years ago.
Oh, man.
They put a fucking computer chip in his brain, and he was able to play Guitar Hero.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. There's a video of him. It's the coolest and weirdest looking thing you've ever seen. So what they did was they put a computer chip in his brain.
Yeah.
They then figured out how to map out what he was trying to say to which exact muscle in his arm and hand.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They then put electrodes all along his forearm.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then he would like think of doing something and it would fire up the muscles in his hand.
He would physically push the buttons.
Yeah, he physically. There's a video of him literally like picking up a credit card out of a wallet and sliding it in a credit card scanner and then putting it back in the wallet.
Oh, my God.
Right? And he's paralyzed from the neck down.
So he has to wear like a suit around him. The suit gives him the electrodes in him.
Well, no, it's just the brain chip.
Yeah.
And then there's like this wrap of constant electrodes that then go into a computer.
Yeah.
So it's not like he can like go out in the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he has to have that on him, those electrodes.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
But he's literally using his mind to pick up a credit card and slide it through a fucking thing.
That's really cool.
And he's completely paralyzed. It's not like, well, he's got a little bit of movement and it's helping. It's like, no, he's going from can't move to moving.
How much? I can't imagine the like psychological impact had to have on him.
Using a credit card?
Just being it, like, if you're paralyzed for 6 years and then all of a sudden you can, like, because you can't feel that you're moving it, but you can watch yourself move.
And it's not a prosthetic. It's his hand.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, first off, as you know how technology has been, right? Where it's like, technology is just a hockey stick. It's like, that's where we are today, or that's where we are, you know, 2 years ago when they started developing this stuff.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see why this speed, is a hockey stick.
The speed of, like, processors is like a hockey stick. It's like, it's always doubling. You know what I mean? And then it gets to this point where it just goes super fast. Uh-huh. Like, if it's time, speed of processor, it's like a hockey stick.
Oh, the actual shape of the... Got it.
Yeah. Of the timeline of the chart. God damn it, guys. I never heard of a hockey stick. Anyway.
Field hockey stick?
Field hockey stick, yeah.
Way not a field hockey stick. Field hockey stick looks like some sort of fucked up candy cane.
It does,
right? It's like somebody
fucked up.
Actually, it looks like somebody fucked up making one of those M&M filled candy canes.
Yes!
You know what I mean? Where it's just like it's like somebody melted the top of an M&M candy cane.
I totally want M&Ms right now.
I would want fucking candy. So great.
Let's get some.
Anyway, but
why
so the whole concept
so
is candy can candy is just the most amazing thing. But so the crazy thing is that they're saying in like 5 to 10 years, not only will it be much smaller electrodes, be able to process faster and things like that, but that it'll actually be able to start sending data back to the brain chip, like touch sensitivity stuff.
Mm. Ooh.
So you would actually be able to feel what was going on back in the brain. It's crazy,
that
dude.
That is awesome. That's science.
Yeah, that is science.
And I know science.
Look.
That's some science. Motherfucking science.
And Tom knows science.
Yeah.
If Tom knows anything, which he does,
it's science.
Science.
Science. And meat.
And
meat. Carnivore club meat.
And bicep.
Workout.
Oh, you noticed.
Workouts.
Oh, you noticed. Thank you.
What do we got on time, by the way?
Good.
I just see a wireless connection.
It's 33.
Oh, cool. Oh, well, let's do one more then.
Yeah. Fuck it.
I'm a guy.
Fuck it.
I really like purple.
I want, like, just to be able to see, like, in ultraviolet.
Like, I just constantly want the Nashville filter on my eyes. That's kind of purpley, right?
That would be fantastic. Actually, that'd be really cool if you could be like, I just want a filter on my eyes. Anyway. Okay, ready for this?
Here we go. If we could put filters on our eyes, I mean,
they're called sunglasses.
Yeah, but when you went on dates, I'd be like, you're only allowed to look at me in the crema filter for now.
That would be amazing.
Right?
Shut your eyes, asshole. All right, put these glasses on. Now we can go.
Yeah. My skin looks good.
Look upon me.
My skin looks really good in the crema filter.
In the crema filter?
Filter, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I do well in the orange spectrum. I don't know what that means. But that's my thing. That's not true.
Really
I don't. Yeah. It's like, I like jaundice. I like a good jaundice female. All right. London gets its first naked restaurant.
Yes.
The waiting list is already at 5,000.
Oh my gosh.
It's all like single old
Wait,
dudes,
I'm going
isn't
to
it?
I'm going Dude. To be in London in less than a month.
Less than a month?
Yeah.
Less than a month.
Now
can
you have a
can
place
I get on the wait list?
I don't know if you'll be able to do this, but here's the deal. This is the thing. It's a pop-up restaurant.
Okay.
It's only going to be there for 3 months in the summer.
Oh.
But the whole concept is it's like they want to sort of roll back the time to like the Roman baths.
Okay.
So essentially it's like, and you don't have to, like it's clothing optional.
Okay.
So there's a section for people who go in and just like,
take
it all off. And
like
everything's
me at
like,
the spa.
Like you at the spa. It's basically like going to the spa to then eat dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, it's creepy. Well, first off, the worst time to see somebody naked is when they're eating.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Like that is the least attractive time to be naked. You know
what
I mean?
It's the summertime where they're sweaty and gross already.
It's summertime where they're sweaty and gross. Yeah. I mean, it's London summer, so I don't know if it gets that hot, but...
Right.
But so the whole... And there's a whole section that's not, but I think... And they didn't get into... Because I was like, I'm assuming the wait staff is all naked, because otherwise that would be a little weird.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, maybe they're just like in...
Do you want naked people serving your food, though?
Do I want naked people anywhere near... I don't know if I want naked people near my food.
Yeah. At the Korean spa, the women who like give you the treatments, like the scrubs and things like that, they wear underwear.
That's nice of them.
Yeah.
Wait, but just underwear?
Yeah. So they're not dressed because you're totally naked, but they're not just naked.
Oh, I see what you mean. So it's sort of like, it's not like, oh, it's weird, this lady's in a pantsuit and I'm completely naked.
Right.
It's like, she's naked. Almost naked, but thankfully I don't have to look at any of her naked bits.
Right, exactly.
That's smart. So maybe it I'm is like maybe that's what the waiters are or something doing. Or yeah. whatever. Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know, the whole like nudist thing, like it just doesn't, it's never been a thing that I'm like, and for the most part, anytime I've been, like there's a beach down in San Diego called Black's Beach, which is naked, like clothing optional.
Wow.
And we went there once when I was a kid, and it was like, first off, I was like, wait, there are people here with no clothes on.
Yeah.
But then secondly, you're like, but none of the attractive people go to a beach where there are no clothes. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the dream of like Ipanema Beach. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like whatever. But it's like, so I feel like anytime it's like, it's you know, a nudist place, I'm like, that's not a place I want to go.
No.
That is not a place
so
I want
to
go.
So wait, what do you eat at this restaurant? And is it in like a bathhouse, like a sauna type deal? Or
I mean, it's a pop-up restaurant. So the whole thing is it's like laid out. They actually show like diagrams of like how it's laid out. You know what I mean? Oh, it looks like maybe you eat at your own table, sort of separated by bamboo. So maybe you're not just as not. Yeah, it looks
you don't
like
get
to there's
see
like,
other people.
Yeah, I think
or
maybe
you are you naked with the person other... you're with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah.
Or do you if only go they... by yourself?
No. Well, I mean, I guess you could be like, just put me at anybody's table. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll just choose my table when I get in there. You know what I mean? Like,
why do you talk like this?
That's how Alex sounds when he's naked.
Yeah, I was like, all right, guys, I'm taking my pants. Oh, my pants fell off. Oh, help me. Oh, my pants. Oh, I got it back on. It's good. We're good.
I was going to forget it. I was going to say something about your wife. Not
what?
Well, if you had that voice when you're naked, she's not going to touch you.
Yeah, that's just not. She's like, don't talk. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'll stop talking. Ooh. Oh, this is happening. I think this is happening. Ooh. Yeah, it'd be the most disgusting sexual experience ever.
I just don't want anyone ever to say to me,
this is happening. I think this is happening.
I don't care what voice it's in. I just don't need someone to say that.
I think this is happening. Yeah. That is sort of like very. It's a very put off-y way to say.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I'm so excited. We're about to have sex.
Yeah, but
like, first off, nobody should ever
that.
Say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody should. You just don't say anything if you're gonna. Yeah. If you're starting to have sex, and you're with it.
Yeah.
Just don't say anything.
Yeah.
I think you know, if you don't want to do, you know, just say, but don't, you know.
Yeah.
Just let it happen.
Yeah.
Don't say,
I'm letting this happen.
All right. Okay. I'm going to let this happen.
Oh, man.
It's horrible. Wow. This is horrible. Oh, I'm so glad I'm married.
All right. What kind of menu does this naked restaurant
have? You know, they don't say.
Wow.
They don't say, but they've done a bunch of different, it's by this group called Lollipop, which I don't know what they are, but I think they do a bunch of different pop-up experiences.
Lollipop.
Oh, yeah. They did a Breaking Bad-themed cocktail bar.
Yes. Ooh.
Yeah, so they do a bunch of stuff like this, but they were like, we had no idea. I mean, they literally have 5,000 people on the wait list.
Can they even fill that many reservations and turn them up?
They don't know. They're like, we're just going to start going down the list and be like, you're coming in Friday. Get your wax on. Wax on, wax off.
Gotta wax.
Yeah. Pluck your eyebrows.
Yeah.
Manscape.
Yeah, Manscape.
Get that shit together.
Yeah, you gotta get that shit together nowadays. That's what I've been told.
Nude pop-ups you do, yeah.
At the nude pop-ups.
Nude pop-ups.
We should do a nude juggling lesson.
What? Why?
Do you know why not?
Why juggling?
Hey, you know what that time is.
Is it time?
It's time to wrap it all up. All
right. Well,
I think we should leave it at nude juggling.
Yeah
nude juggling. Yeah. Done. We'll do a quick thank you to the Carnivore Club.
Yeah.
Carnivore Club.
By the way,
we
the
ate all
Carnivore
the meat.
Club meat is got
ate
no more.
Another thanks to Mike at Stone for providing Namin. Our beer,
thanks for the beer
for the day.
Nah, man.
And if you want to email us, shoot us an email at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, halfhourhappyhour. That's it. Right? Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitchers and all those fun.
And I'm working on getting us on the new Google Music podcast section. So that's happening, everybody.
What? And thank you all for listening. That is it for this episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with Allison and Alex. I'm Allison Hayslip.
And I'm Alex Albrecht. With us this week was the man, the myth, the legend, Tom Supervolcano Krajewski.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you guys for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.